Well, good morning. How's everybody? Good. All right, you're still there. You're with us. Welcome. We're so glad you're here. I'm Pastor Brent. You've already introduced yourself, so yep. They know who you are. It's good to see you guys today, and as you can tell, we're doing something a little different. We like to do this every now and then just because it changes things up and it keeps us sharp
right.
on our toes because we never know quite what the other person's going to say. It's a little more risky for you
That's
than it is
exactly
for me.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
But you know, today we're going to kind of do a throwback message because as you can see on the screen, we're going back to We Are Ashworth.
But we had to modify it.
We did have to modify
Lots
it because
changed.
We did this in January.
Correct.
The first 5 weeks of the year, this was our series, but
right.
A
lot's changed since January.
And you can,
so you can see we had to update our photo.
Yep.
Go to that next slide.
There it is.
Now it's an appropriate photo
now
for
it's
life
an appropriate
for us all.
Slide. You know, one of the reasons we wanted to come back to this is because we say our mission statement as a church, it says we are a church, we exist to connect individuals and families to Jesus, one another, and our community. And the key word there being connect. And connect is all, it's a relational word. It's all about the relationships that we develop. And as we think about that idea, do we connect? I don't know. I think sometimes we say it, it sounds good, but when it really comes down to it, can we say we're really a place that connects? With God, hopefully, that's what part of this is this morning. With our community, we go out, we try to do some good things in the world around us. Yeah. But I think one of the most challenging ways for us to connect is here in this room on Sunday morning, because can you really develop that deep connection when you only see each other about an hour a week? And so several weeks ago, I sent an article out to the staff and the leadership team, and it was all about this idea of friendship. And Ryan, you have a saying you love to share. Go ahead.
There are cruise ships and there are pirate ships, but the best ships are friendships. Make sure that you lock that one away.
That's right.
People will be impressed.
That's one you don't want to forget, right? But we do know that friendship is important. You know, Ryan and I are very different personalities, even though we may look the same and people call us Brian often and get us confused. We're very different. Ryan is very extroverted. He thrives off relationships with people. I'd rather be shut in my office with the door closed with a good book. That's just me. I can engage, but I it can be very draining sometimes. But what we've realized is, and you mentioned it this week, is that with COVID, we realized that it really highlighted the challenges that many of us have in
right.
this area.
Introverts didn't really have a whole lot of problem with COVID.
Oh, we loved
They're
it.
Like, this is great.
It was awesome.
I've got the perfect amount of relationships.
Keep me socially distant.
Occasionally texting people to say, how are you doing? The extroverts were really struggling with this. And what we found as a church, as we were thinking, you know, how do we even do discipleship going forward when we can't gather, we can't have our programs? Our Sunday mornings were shut down completely for 3 months. With the exception of being online, but we understand discipleship is more than just watching, teaching mm-hmm. at a distance.
And that chat window was very yeah. limiting in how you could interact, and
right.
even this morning, we encourage you often to interact in the chat window. If we say something you like, do it. But it's not the same as sitting down face to face. It's not the same as having that relational time over a meal, at a coffee shop, wherever,
right.
that allows you to really dig into somebody's
Yeah,
life.
And that's why we kind of, all these ideas came together and why we needed to do this message on friendship, because this article on friendship yep. was really challenging to a lot of things
yeah.
as we were looking at discipleship and saying, how are we going to continue to do mm-hmm. ministry in this coming year, knowing that realistically, we're not going to have large gatherings. What it's going to rely on is face-to-face, one-on-one relationships as we challenge one another in
yeah.
our faith.
And really what that article spoke to me and really challenged me on is it said, it made this statement. It says, churches can be friendly, hospitable, and welcoming, which I think we have tried to be as a church over the years. We've wanted that to be a part of who we are, people to come in and say, oh, I felt welcome. That was a very friendly place. And then it says, oh, but friendliness doesn't necessarily lead to friendship. And I think we can all probably nod our heads in agreement with that. I shared this article with a few people in the church, and actually somebody sent me a response back. And it was, this is somebody here at Ashworth, and here was what they said. I copied their email. It said, I'm friendless at church myself. I'm talking about here. But then I don't have many friends outside either. I have people with whom I discuss certain things, but their availability is at best intermittent. Recently, I've seen people extremely distracted and extremely busy. Often they aren't available. I have few relationships that are willing to discuss things with me, but most of the time they discuss their needs, not mine. So I end up in a mentor kind of role. I stick around despite lack of deep friendships because I know that it's not about me. That doesn't mean it doesn't hurt when people aren't available when I need them most. I read that email and I just right to the gut, you know, the heart just kind of, because it makes me hurt for that individual, because as much as I want us to be a friendly place, I also want this to be a place where you have some of the deepest connections and friendships that you have. If you don't have them, maybe you have them outside the church, but we talk about how we connect. Can we be that place? So
right, and it's important. Friendship, we often talk about acquaintances and stuff, but what we're really talking about is that deep connection, that deep friendship, that person that you can count on when things are really bad, when you get that call with that terrible news and you feel like it's a punch to the gut and you want to share it with somebody to carry that load with you. Who do you have?
And so we're going to ask you to kind of take out your phones. And if you're online, get ready to text in. We've got a poll like we did last week. And we just want to see. The question today is, how many close friends do you have? How many close friends do you have? You can see the number is 205-953-4240. So it's the same one. And so put the options up on the screen. So if you have one close friend, you text one. If you have two close friends, you text two. Three for three, four for four, five for five or more. And then six is none of the above. So if, and let's define that close friend. That is someone you are willing to share your deepest pain, disappointments, failures. That's the person that really knows you. And it can't just be your spouse. Oh, somebody's got to change their answer now.
Can you count your spouse?
No.
You can't count
your spouse. No, we're talking outside of your spouse.
Outside of your spouse.
Okay, we're going to give you a second to...
Well, that's good, because when I was thinking my number, my spouse didn't make my count. Because I was thinking guy friends.
Michelle, I will talk to him after
the service is over. She's my best friend forever.
All right, let's look here at the screen. Oh, several of you had four. Oh, there comes some, none of these. Yep.
Yeah.
One.
Pretty evenly spaced with a lot of four friends.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
We're going to give it a couple more seconds. We realize that the online crowd, we're about
a minute,
15 seconds behind, 15 to 30 seconds behind. So we'll leave that up. Ryan, how would you answer that question?
I would say I have three close friends, three guys, in addition to my spouse, who clearly is my best friend.
Good save.
But I have three people that when I have stuff going on, I share pretty much everything with those three individuals.
I'd probably say I have two other than my spouse that knows everything about me that I open.
And it's important because, you know, and they aren't all you, because sometimes I have to have somebody to be like, man, this guy I'm working with.
I don't think people understand that about us, though, is that we really are friends. We give each other a lot of crap, a lot. But we really are friends. I mean, in my number, you were that for me, and I think I was in your number. But yeah, even beyond that, there's people I have to go to for you, and so vice versa. But you can see, so it's interesting, some of you, so yeah, we have a lot of people with friends, we have a few with none, and I think that's interesting. You know, there was a survey of social connectedness that was done in 1985 and again in 2004. And the question they asked was, over the last 6 months, who are the people with whom you discussed matters important to you? And in 1985, almost 60% of the people listed three or more. And then they redid, so 60%, so that's a huge number of people that said three or more. And then they redid it in 2004, and the numbers had shifted drastically, because at that point, the most common answer, the most common number at that point was zero. Can you imagine that? That it's over 25%, that was the biggest category, now said they had no close friends. And so that's really what we want to talk to you about today, is just kind of the importance of this and then also what it looks like. So
we need to have friends. From the very beginning, when you start in the Bible in Genesis, God creates Adam, and it is good, but he also realizes right away that Adam is alone, and that is not good. Adam needs a companion. And that makes sense, because we have a triune God. When we think of God, he's not a singular God as one who's all alone in the sky, but the picture we have in the Bible of God from the beginning is he's actually God in three persons of perfect love and perfect relationship. So if God is a God of relationship from the beginning, it makes sense that he then creates us to be in connection both with him, but also recognizing that we need to be in connection with others.
Yeah, and even going back, you see the verse on the screen, Genesis 2:18. You know, everything God created, he said, was good. Everything at the end he creates, it says it's good. And then he creates mankind, and he looks at man, and he says, this is not good. And he says, the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone, so I will make a helper. And a lot of times we use this as a marriage thing, but I think it goes beyond even just the marriage relationship. That loneliness that comes in is if you don't have someone that knows you, really knows you, it can be exhausting. Yeah. And you know, and that's kind of the what you were saying. We need friendships because of that social connection. We need one another. As extroverts, you thrive on it. You get energy from it. Yeah. But even then, as an introvert, I think we may get it differently. We may not need a crowd of people, but we still need one person. We thrive when we have that one individual that we can talk to and open up and have them open up as well. So that social connection is important. But not just that, because the next thing we find that the benefit of friendship is encouragement. You know, Hebrews chapter 10, 24 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." Now, let me just ask this question here, and you can just nod your head. Any of you felt discouragement during this time of pandemic? Anybody felt discouraged?
And typically, you feel better when you have somebody to talk to about that. Like, if you sit alone feeling discouraged, you just get deeper and deeper.
It's
in
a spiral,
the hole.
And you get hopeless, and that's the trouble spot.
Yeah, one of my friends, I have a phone call every Tuesday with him, and we check in. And even when you feel terrible, to just be like, I feel down in the dumps. I don't love work. I don't love life. I don't love anything right now.
You didn't say you didn't love work.
You know, there were moments where I didn't love anything. We were all there, okay? I'm just being transparent here. We'll talk about that later. But to just have somebody that you can say, this is where I'm at, and know that they're listening, they hear you, and that they can encourage and be like, you know, it does stink, and we're going to all come through this.
And I want to clarify one thing as you were saying. You said you have someone, but then also someone has you.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll talk more about that. But we're talking about a two-way street here, where someone has that relationship with you, where they call you, or they text you, or they come over and they say, "I need to tell you about my really crappy week so that you can help me through it." And you do, because that's what the relationship is.
The next benefit of having friends, we see a beautiful picture of it in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It's the strength when things are hard. It says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." And so this idea of strength in adversity, when things are really hard, you can't truly do it all by yourself. We need to partner with God, but also he put people around us to partner with us here on this earth to give us what we need.
And that pushes back against American culture so much, doesn't it? I mean, you're supposed to be able to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. That's just a stupid statement, just to be very honest with you. I mean, it makes no sense. You were never designed to do that, and Ecclesiastes is a great example of that. God put you around and with other people, and you need that. We have to realize that we need it, and we have to push against that American independent spirit that says, no, I can do this on my own.
Well, and that's why spiritually it's important to be part of a church. As a church, we say connection is, we're better together. Yeah. That's one of our values. It's why we put all our faces out on that wall by the coffee bar here. It's because we recognize spiritually we accomplish more, we stay more connected with Jesus when we do it together. There is strength in numbers. And that's why being a part of a local church and being engaged and active is really important to our faith journey. We're not meant to do that alone either.
Right. And it's about seeing this, that what we do as family, but even deeper than family. It's family you get to choose. Yeah. You know, it's family that we intentionally become a part of. And then the last benefit we want to just share this morning is just the ability to have someone to give you good counsel. Anybody ever struggled with a decision, you don't know what to do, and you just need to bounce it off somebody? That's what a good friend is for. It's the person you don't have to, you know, explain yourself. You don't have to say, well, you know, let me give you the backstory. They know the backstory, and you lean into that, and they understand you, and they see things that you don't see, and they can help guide you during that. And we could have picked probably a ton of verses from Proverbs that talk about good counsel and good friends and how important this is. But Proverbs 27:17 is what we wanted to share. Just it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And it's just a reminder of we need these deep relationships because it's important to have somebody speaking to us, but it's also important to know who we're listening to. And then vice versa, who are you speaking into? What counsel are you giving?
Because it actually helps you become a better version of yourself when you have somebody else that you're bouncing those ideas off of, who's challenging you, who's moving you forward in your maturity.
Exactly. So we want to talk now about just what is it and how do you be one of these friends that we're talking about? What is it that it looks like?
But there's a couple of cautions before we jump into that, because a lot of people have a lot of different ideas of friends, and you can go to Facebook and see people with 1,000 friends, and Facebook uses the term friends, but we all know those aren't friends. Those are just people you're creeping on to see what they're doing in their lives.
You know, the Brent Clark rule is if I haven't talked to you in like a year, you get unfollowed.
Yeah.
I don't need your stuff popping up in my feed. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. So make sure, check in with them every 8 to 9 months and stay in that.
So I come closer to actual friendships or family. Yeah. Family qualifies too. That's right. But it doesn't mean that you need 100 of these. You do not have the relational space in your life for more than 1 to 3 of these people in your life.
So some people have four.
Some people have four.
They're overachievers.
They're overachievers. That's right. But you don't need more. You don't need 100. In fact, Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." We need those individuals that are tight, that are deep, that know us better.
But they can't be too tight. Because I love this next proverb. You found it, and I was like, oh, this is so good. Proverbs 25:17 kind of hits the other side. It shouldn't be 24/7 access of seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you, and they will hate you.
No amens at this point. Some of you had somebody in mind that popped in your head, and you're like, yep, they need to hear that verse. That's right. No, we do. We need boundaries in relationships. It doesn't mean there's unfettered access all the time, but there does need to be an openness, a transparency, but a nice boundary. But you know, as we were saying earlier, Proverbs continually talks about how fools perish for either a lack of friends or poorly chosen friends. And Proverbs says that the choice of your friends and whether you have them or not, it can make or break your life. I mean, when you read through Proverbs, it's very significant to understand that what we're talking about here isn't, oh, that's a neat thing. No, this is significant. This is important. This will propel you forward in faith. It will encourage you. It will give you what you need. Or it will have you just sitting back and just sitting in a spiral, just an unhealthy spiral. So, Ryan, why don't you share the first, what does this friendship look like?
What does friendship look like? It's first, it has to be reciprocal, like we already started to talk about. It's got to be a little bit of back and forth. Yeah. Some of you have maybe been in that friendship where it's very one-sided, and you understand at a point, like, this doesn't feel much like a friendship. This feels like...
Let's just go ahead and ask that question. Have some of you been in that relationship before where it was
raise
very
your hand.
One-sided?
Raise your hand.
Yeah. And you know exactly what we're talking about. I've got some friends that occasionally I go to lunch with, and I'll come back every time. And now Ryan just asked the question, did they ask anything about you?
Anything.
And I said, nope, it was an hour and a half of just me asking about them, and never once did they have the thought to say, how are you doing?
So that's a challenge. Our culture, we love to talk about ourselves. Friendship requires that we're more conscious of asking about the other person. And we see this.
But to get there, we have to have trust. You know, to make a reciprocal relationship, there has to be a level of trust that I trust you and you trust me. Otherwise, we're never going to open up in that way. If you guys know, if you've shared something with somebody before and you thought you had that trust and then you hear it from another friend, you're like, oh, that trust wasn't there. You know, and then the other side is it can't be one-sided. As the email I read earlier, you know, the person there said, I felt like a mentor. That's really what you become when you have that relationship that's not reciprocal. You're becoming a mentor or a counselor or vice versa if it's not reciprocal on the other side. So
yeah, So you've got to be willing to open up and share. We see this modeled really well with Jesus and his disciples and what he describes in his prayer in John chapter 15, verses 12 through 15. He says, "My command is this, love each other as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends," what Jesus is about to do for them. "You are my friends if you do what I command." That's what he's expecting from them. "I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." So in this verse, you just see this back and forth, ebb and flow, reciprocal. God shares with me, I share with you, I trust you, you do what I say, I lay down my life for you. And that's kind of the ebb and flow that friendship is supposed to have. Yeah. You could call it, you know, sharing and speaking. That's somewhere else, actually.
That's somewhere else. Yeah, don't reveal that one yet. That's a good one. Now, the New York Times did a survey, and, you know, this is so profound. They said that the leading cause of persistent relationships is reciprocity. It's nothing as complicated as just, all it means is just returning a phone call, returning a text, checking in with that person. We want to make it so complicated, but it's really not that complicated. And I know maybe some of you are like me. I'm not wired this way. So what I have to do is I put reminders on my phone or on my calendar to text or call somebody. I put a reminder on my phone to pray for certain people or whatever. You know, that's okay. We sometimes look at that as weakness, but it's really not. It's just owning who you are and saying, okay, if I'm going to be reciprocal, then I have to be willing to do this for that individual.
Because what you're getting at is some people are more wired to this than others.
Yeah.
Some people, they naturally think about it, and they're just thinking about their friends. And I haven't texted that person in 2 days. Others of us have to be a little more structured, and that's okay.
And I do. And so, you know, really, one of the things we want you to think about this morning is think about those relationships where you answered that question in the beginning, that poll question. And we want you to evaluate from both sides of those relationships. Are you a friend to them, and are they a good friend, close friend to you? I think those are important questions that we need to evaluate on as well. So reciprocal, that's important. And the second thing here is we want to just talk about is availability. And the email I read earlier talked about that. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity." You know, part of this is just being available. If we're not available, we can't have relationship. We can't have a deep friendship at all.
Right. And so a part of what availability looks like is, first, you have to have access. Being nearby is helpful, honestly. Proverbs 27:10, "Do not forsake your friend or a friend of your family, and do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away." Sometimes you just need to, you know, I need a babysitter right now for this last minute emergency. I need help with this situation. And so having friends that are available, meaning they're nearby, they can step in at a moment's notice, is part of what that assistance is during those times of adversity. Yeah.
And it's not just available, but it's also committed. Mm-hmm. You commit in that relationship with one another. Proverbs 18:24, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother." And I love this passage because I think in the American culture, one of the things we do is we hold tightly to our family and everything else comes second. And here's a reminder that it says, there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Think about that, because closer than a brother, that's what a friendship could look like and can. That's closer than your family members that you have. And remember that when this was written for Proverbs, this was written in an incredibly family-oriented culture, much more even family-oriented than ours, because what a family stuck with you, right? I mean, they're going to be there with you whether they want to or not. But think about a friend who does by choice what a family member does by obligation, possibly. Right. Yeah. And that's what we're talking about here.
And then the third thing, part of being available, is we just need to be less busy. We need more margin in our lives. Part of why a friend may not be there for you, or you may not be a great friend because you're not available for others when they need you, is because our schedules are chalked so full of things that when somebody calls and says, "Hey, can you help me with that?" "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm busy." So they call again, "Hey, can you help me this weekend?" "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm busy." Eventually, if you're never available to help, then you kind of fall out of that place of being a good friend just because you're too busy to be a friend to that person.
Yeah, you create time for friends, and that's just what we have to remember.
Yeah.
The next thing we talk about, the benefit here, or what a friend looks like, is that it's someone that is careful. Someone that is careful. And this is kind of an interesting one. Galatians 6:2 reminds us to carry each other's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ. What we're talking about here is just being sensitive. Being sensitive, having a little bit of emotional intelligence in our relationships. It is burden carrying, and it's loving your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah. And that's really, it just means being aware of what's going on in their lives. If you're so busy with yourself that you're not aware to see what's going on in their lives, you can't help share that burden. Mm-hmm. Most of the time in America, we don't like to ask for help.
Yeah.
A good friend sees that you need it, and we offer the help before them asking.
Yeah, and two, it goes a little deeper too, I think, too, because it's seeing the person and their need and kind of being a part of that, being in that need with them and having that emotional response where we're not railroading them. It's not the relationship what says, well, my personality is this way and I'm just going to tell you like I want to tell you. No, a good friend understands that you don't need to be railroaded. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. And sometimes you just need a friend that speaks softly and still truthfully, but in a way that you can receive.
Yeah.
And so we want friends that are careful in how they interact with us as well.
Right. And the last thing, what it means to be a friend, is you have to be vulnerable. And that first is a transparency, being willing to talk about deeper things than just the weather. And, you know, part of why churches have a reputation for being welcoming and friendly is because we have a lot of conversations, but they're up high and they're not at that transparent level of the deep meaningful.
And to be fair, this environment is not created for that.
No.
You don't want to start talking about your greatest sin right out in the middle of the foyer after church, I'm assuming. If you do, let me get my tape recorder ready and I'll be right out. No, you understand that this environment is created for something different. This is hopefully to connect you with the family, the bigger thing that we're doing, and with God. But for those deeper, transparent relationships to happen, as Ryan said, you can't just talk about the weather. People don't become best friends or besties by only discussing football and the weather. We have to be willing to speak and share the hard things, right?
Yeah, and speaking and sharing, we could say declare and divulge or profess and confess. Brent and I love to play with the words in these sermons, by the way, that they sound good.
We spend way too much time on this.
Too much time. We came up with speak and leak. You need to be willing to speak the truth and leak what's going on in your lives, but that got ixnayed. Said it was too good to not share with you all
today. But you'll remember it now. So, yeah, you can't be afraid or unwilling to share, but you also can't be afraid or unwilling to speak. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of it. In fact, one of the things I was reading this week, one of the articles, the author just basically said, if you're in a relationship and you see somebody about to do something and you don't speak into that from a perspective of truth and friendship, you're probably not a friend.
Right.
I mean, you and I could probably share numerous examples of stories where we have shared things with each other, and either one of us have said, have you considered this, you know?
Right. We call that candor. It's the ability to speak truth in love, being sensitive, recognizing, I'm not trying to say that was really dumb, but have you considered, I often phrase it as a question, that's a way that's a little more disarming, but it's a willingness to say the hard thing to the friend.
Right.
You know, that iron sharpening iron piece of the relationship. Yeah.
In fact, there was a quote that I came across this week that used the word candor, and it said this. It said, candor is I'm telling the truth, and then go back to the previous word, which was careful, and carefulness is I'm so emotionally connected that the painful words I'm going to tell you are going to create pain for me. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what the friendship that we're talking about here? So you want to be, you know, you want to be vulnerable and transparent and have that reciprocated back. All these things that we're talking about, reciprocal and vulnerable, careful, all those words come together to really, you can't have friendship really without all those. They all come together to create what we're talking about here.
Correct. So like we've said, when we think about friendship, for some of us, it comes easier than for others. For some of us, we need to be thinking about, okay, have I been a good friend to those friends in my life? In what ways can I be a better friend? Maybe I need to make more time for people. Maybe I need to schedule things in my calendar to remind me to follow up. One of my good friends, I have a weekly phone call every Tuesday because he lives another state away. But if we didn't schedule that, make the time for one another, build it into our calendars, our friendship would very quickly slip away. Yeah. But that's, friendship doesn't just have to be something that comes easy and is convenient. If you're waiting for it to only be easy and convenient, you're not going to have the opportunity to have the depth.
You're going to have acquaintances.
That's what you're
going to have. Acquaintances.
It takes work.
Yeah. The other thing is too, as we think about this, the article that talked about loneliness and friendship in church is it talked about how often when people come in to a new social setting, it seems like the responsibility for them to break in is theirs. That we have created our little circles and we may be friendly, but we're not really opening. And the article just kind of said the onus should not be on the newcomer. We shouldn't make it hard for them to break in. We need to find space for new friends occasionally and understand that that's what it's about, you know. And I loved this piece of advice I read this week when it talked about friendship. It said, you know, when you're with someone that's a friend, make it your goal to get at least one new piece of information about the people you're having conversation with. And so really what they're talking about is just care. Be curious about people. Right. Ask them questions. Don't just let them be the one that asks you questions. This is going to be a time thing. You cannot be friends if you don't make time for others. And honestly, love has to be the defining characteristic. The Bible just tells us repeatedly in the New Testament, love is what defines followers of Jesus. And if we fall into the same categories we see others around us where we're not really in deep relationship, we don't really have close friends because we don't have margin, we're not making time, we refuse to be vulnerable. You know, I think there is a question at some level that we need to ask, are we really following Jesus? If we don't see that love marking our lives in the relationships we have with one another.
Right. So a couple of ways as a church we want to help you find friendship. If you're like, you know, I would like that. It's part of why we're offering this picnic is, you know, for the people who feel connected pretty well to say, you know, I'm going to go ask somebody that maybe I don't know that well and say, would you like to join me in this picnic? That's making it easier for the newcomer. Yeah. It's we have discipleship groups as one of our ways of helping people grow in their faith because we understand it's easier in a friendship to grow in your faith in a smaller group where you're caring
Over a cup of coffee or over a meal or something. Those are the easiest ways for those relationships to be forged.
So as we go through this year, this calendar year, and you hear about different opportunities we have at Ashworth, understand a lot of these little ministry things we do, it's to help create an opportunity for you to try to build that connection with somebody else, to build a friendship, because together in friendship is how we grow in our faith.
And as we said, some people, the church has not done a good job at this through the years. I don't think we've often just been a place to come in and go back out and not really worry about friendships. But I think it's something we have to pay attention to. In a COVID world, and even in a post-COVID world, it is going to be so critical that we move our thinking beyond Ashworth Church is what happens in this room on Sunday morning to really, Ashworth Church is what takes place in your home during the week. And so you're going to encounter people that may not have any idea what it looks like or know how to interact or respond to being a friend. And you may have to teach or train them. You may have to model it for them. You may have to encourage it. And so, but I think what we're saying here is that it's important and it's something that we all need to be committing ourselves to finding how many deep relationships do we have. And we're not saying get 50, but do you have one, maybe two in your life, those people that you can really talk to, share with, open up your heart with? Because I know that's what we were created to do. It's how we were created to live. And if we don't have that in our lives, we're really missing out on the way we were created to be, a God who lives in community, who lives in that deep level of connection in Trinity. We're called to live that way as well. So we wrap up with just a final question. I'll let you share that one, Ryan.
Yeah, so what, as you go out from here, consider this, have this conversation maybe with the person you're having lunch with. What are you going to do this week to change your answer to that opening question of how many close friends do you have? If you feel like you don't have enough or you feel like you're lacking, what steps can you take to try to find another friend and make another friend? It's not just about cosmically finding one and having one drop into your life, but it's about doing the hard work of making a friend and slowly building that level
of re-engaging somebody that may have been in your life that was a good friend that maybe has fallen out. So, you know, the goal here is to just live like Jesus. Jesus lived his life with these men and, you know, they followed him and they did life together. And really, that's what we're talking about. It's just friendship is life together. And we want to encourage you to find that. I want to tell you that it can't be a pastor. Some of you might get a pastor, but it won't always be a pastor, right? We only have the relational space and equity for so many people. And so that's why oftentimes when people call us and they're like, oh, but can you do this? It's like, no, we have to have boundaries in our lives as well to be able to do and not do certain things. But find those people around you. We believe in what's called the priesthood of the believer. It means that you have the same access to God that I do, and that you don't have to go through me to get to Jesus. And so there's nothing more special about any of my friendships and relationships that can be for your friendships and relationships. So let me just encourage you, be on the lookout this week and even pray, God, open my eyes. Let me see who you've already placed in my life. Let me see the relationships that you may be calling me to engage with this week. Let's pray.